So, I just want to highlight for a moment, Tracy, I'm not calling you out. What I'm doing is resonating deeply with you. For those who don't know, Tracy was in full-blown prostrate worship on the stage, and I love that because I recently had that experience for the first time in my life, and it was embarrassing. But more so than embarrassing, it was embarrassing because I was like, God, don't do this to me here right now because this is awkward. Like, I'm on stage in front of people. Like, let me have a private moment. And then it became overwhelming. God was like, let go. Tracy, by the time I let go, I was screaming. Screaming. And it's beautiful because I wouldn't know what was going on with you if I didn't have a personal experience by my own. So if you're the person who saw Tracy prostrate before God in public, Tracy had a private moment. And if you're the person who, like, I don't understand, like, this is too much, seek God and say, God, I want that. God, I want that. God, I want to scream and shout in front of anybody that you're my God. God, I want to be thankful and hurtful in front of anybody because you're my God. And no matter who's around, because I know if my mama is here in this crowd, that's my mom. And the same way, when you have a personal relationship with God, wherever you are and you see your God, you say, that's my God. Thank you, as always, to the praise team and the worship team for bringing us here. In this place of worship, my prayer is that we use this as a launching point into God's word today, and that you are fed, you are filled, and you are changed in what you're going to be faced with this week based on the word of God. And for those who don't know as well, we have a apparently we have a world famous musician on stage. We have two world famous musicians on stage. One day I gotta like give y'all them YouTube links and IGs because these people are like amazing, amazing, amazing. And I don't think you guys recognize how amazing they are. So thank you guys for your service and your ministry here at Message of Hope. It is truly a blessing to have you guys here because not everybody got the package we got out here, and it elevates our experience. So I appreciate that. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into our word today. So today is going to be another addition to our series. It's going to be another addition to our series, which is We Need to Talk. We need to talk. We're going to be talking about boundaries and how they will set you free. I know you're looking at this like, boundaries will set you free. Boundaries don't set nobody free. But by the grace of God, we're going to be seeing how boundaries will set you free today through the word of God. And the first thing I would like to do, and I always like to do with all of you, is just do a feelings check. A feelings check. A feelings check. A feelings check. And so you could take, and this time different, rather than just tell us how you're feeling, I want you to look at this image and identify three emotions displayed in this image. It's a little small for some people, I understand that, and I apologize, but we're going to get your emotional EQ up today. Three emotions identified in this image. Anybody got one? Anger. Okay, we see anger. What else? Which one looks angry? Bottom right. Oh, this guy? Top right looks angry? Okay, top right looks angry. Top right looks angry. All right, one more emotion. Who's sad? The bottom one. Okay, there's like six on the bottom. Come on, people. To this guy? All right, that guy's sad. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm not going to agree nor disagree with you guys. The purpose is just being able to recognize emotions in others, helps you navigate your situations and recognize emotions in yourself as well. Actually, you will see people who have issues when they're not able to recognize emotions in others or themselves. Sometimes it leads to, sometimes it is a symptom of a mental illness, but we're not going to go there today. All right, here we are. We're going to open our words to Genesis 2. And this is going to be different because we have been reading from Genesis 2 every day, every Sabbath. But this is going to be a different section of Genesis. And I want you to go ahead and high-five your neighbor and say, I love the word. High-five your neighbor and I love the word. I love the word. We're reading from Genesis 2, starting at verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. I want you to go ahead and read with me. And everybody, if you are online, as always, I am rocking with you. So feel free to talk back with me as we talk today. All right, verse 15, I want you to read me. It states, then the Lord God and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. And what was the man supposed to do? I'm going to let y'all know right now. We're going to come right back to this at the end of the message. All right, here we go. Oh. All right, the Lord God commanded the man. The Lord God did what? Saying, all right, I want you to give me your best God voice. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to read the scripture and you're going to read the narrative, you need to read the narrative like you do with kids so you can understand that it's a narrative. We read it too bland. So I need to hear your best God voice. Let me hear what what does your God sound like? Annalise, what does your God sound like? It sounds like what? Bold? Okay, read this for everybody in your bold God voice. Come on, I'm coming right to you.
From any tree of the garden, you may eat freely.
Okay. Your God is bold. All right. So thank you for your example. All right, you guys ready to read it in your best God voice? Amen. Yes. Feedback. What? Are you ready to read it in your best God voice? All right, here we go. All right, the Lord God commanded the man saying, Everybody has the same God voice? There was one different over here, but I respect that. You know what I'm saying? I respect that personal relationship. All right, we're still reading in God voice. It says you can eat from any tree of the garden, but, verse 15, 17, excuse me, but from the tree of? For in that day that you eat from it, you will surely die. So if you guys do not recall, I'm going to give you a quick recap of some of the things we talked about when we need to talk. All right, so the most recent message, what we brought up, Elder Conrad brought up for us, that the breaking down of barriers and their role in communication. And so we're actually going to talk about boundaries, right, today. So our barriers come from our experiences, our assumptions. And what happens is with our barriers, when we have a conversation, we use them to filter the words and interactions that we encounter. And so sometimes because of our experiences and our assumptions, the person says, hello, and what you see is, ooh, I want you, right? And so because of that, it also makes difficult in our relationships where you need to have a proper conversation to get through a trial or a tribulation. We also looked at in the garden how Genesis plays the foundation of how we understand the relationship between man and woman and the relationship between humans in general and how God has set that up and how the enemy throughout scripture and throughout our lives, his main goal is to mess up the ability for us to communicate and live in harmony and community with God. All right, so since we're talking about boundaries today, what are boundaries? Guys, I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to think to yourself. Give me examples of boundaries. I need you to give me examples of boundaries. Think to yourself. I'm giving you 5 seconds. All right, y'all got it? All right, give me an example. Huh? Ooh, a budget. Grown people talk. Don't say it? Okay, he's not going to say it. Yes. Offense. Yes, offense. So we have financial boundaries. We have physical boundaries like offense. Any other boundaries? No more boundaries? Friendship? Friendship boundary. We're going to come to that. Now, because you said that, when we come to it, you're going to have to talk again. I appreciate you. All right, let's take one more boundary. One more. Come on, help me out. A door. Ooh, a door is a boundary. So I should have put this image up to help you guys. So we have physical boundaries. We have emotional boundaries. We have financial boundaries. We have mental boundaries. We have relational boundaries. We have all of these types of boundaries. And so here's the thing about boundaries. We know about boundaries. I'm going to give you some boundary examples that you know how to abide by. So when we actually properly define the boundary, you're going to understand it. So if you're a guy, go ahead and raise your mental hand for me. All right. Thank you for raising your mental hand, all the guys in the room. So when you go into the restroom, and there are three stalls, and the guy is on the furthest to the right. Men, which stall are you going to use? Furthest to the left. That is a boundary. We have boundaries from societal norms. I don't know who taught me that. Nobody taught me down in class. I don't know, but I passed that class because I know I need to skip the middle stall. I need to put a boundary. We have boundaries that involve city limits and speed limits. Now, mental hand. For all of those who like the speed, raise your mental hand. You didn't have to raise your hand. Now, I know you like the speed. I'm not going to get in your car. All right, here we go. So what happens when you see a speed limit? Nothing happens when you see a speed limit. I love that because what would happen if you're speeding and an officer sees you? You get a ticket. It depends on how smooth you are with the talk. It depends on how fast you're going. All right, I know we all got some testimonies. So we have trademarks, which are boundaries, things you can't touch. We have city limits. Within a city limit, what happens depending on the city limit you get in? We got taxes, right? Not everybody's taxed the same. And so our boundaries affect our relational aspect of the things we encounter. And when we cross a boundary, what happens? Consequences. All right, I'm going to stick with the word. When we cross a boundary, when we cross a boundary, it increases risk. All right, so we're going to bring a definition. You got anything you want to add to this definition? It's a working definition. Huh? All right, so when you cross a boundary, it produces consequences that can both increase tension and increase risk. That is our working definition. We all like that definition. Amen? All right, so let's talk about setting healthy boundaries. And this is how we're going to do this. I want to first recognize that boundaries, in a human sense, are how we interact with others. This is a beautiful quote by Brené Brown, and I want you guys to, I'm going to read it for you. It says, boundaries are a prerequisite for compassion and empathy. We can't connect with someone unless we're clear about where we end and they begin. If there is no autonomy between people, then there is no compassion or empathy, just enmeshment. So I want you guys to think about back to the garden, right? And this is why it's going to be important how you understand boundaries and understanding that once a boundary is crossed, there's consequences, increased risk, and increased tension. When God sets Adam and Eve in the garden, God gives them a commandment, right? And if they cross the boundary of the commandment, what is going to happen? They shall surely die. They shall surely die, or die, right? So, with a boundary, who is in control? The person who sets the boundary is in control. So when you're in control, who has to give the consequence? All right, now y'all rocking with me. I'm going to skip this because we already did this. All right, so this is a very popular verse, which is why I'm reading it, and I think it's a perfect example for a spiritual and practical boundary that we all need to set in our lives. This is Joshua 24. If you guys are not familiar, here we have Joshua. They're about to cross into the promised land, and Joshua, before this, is telling the people, wait, let me go back one more. Joshua's after Moses. Like, Moses dies. Like, God is like, yo, you cannot go into the promised land. The people were wilding. I'm going to let you see it, but I ain't going to let you go. And this guy who's been following you, like, Joshua, I'm going to make him the leader. Now Joshua's the leader. Joshua knows what they did. Joshua knows what they're doing in Egypt. Joshua knows what they're doing in the wilderness. And Joshua gives them this pep talk like, look, guys, I know our ancestors came from Egypt and they worship this, that, and the third. I know when we're going through the wilderness, you guys worship this, that, and the third. But I'm going to let you know something right now. I'm going to read it like Joshua said it by the grace of God in the Bible. He says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is the leader of Israel. Joshua is getting encouragement and commandments from God at this point. And Joshua sets a clear boundary, not for the people of Israel, but for his family. Joshua says, here's the proper boundary to set, but I can't control what you do. As a matter of fact, I know I can't because y'all been wilding out this whole time. I know, I've been with you. And so as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think a good principle for setting boundaries is understanding that while the world has all of these boundaries that are healthy for us to set, a very basic principle, foundation of all of our boundaries needs to be this right here. As for you and your job, as for you and your girlfriend, as for you and your parents, as for you and the guy who cut me off on the road, as for you and your church, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because I can't control everything that's happening. But when I set a boundary, I can control the consequence. So here we go, here we go, here we go. Let's rock with me, let's rock with me. So I know when we talk about relationships, it can be a little complicated. We like to be in entanglements, right? Some of us have friendships that are not really friendships. Some of us have marriages that are on the brink of divorce. Some of us have exes that are kind of not our ex. Some of us have bosses that, we hate. And so boundaries physically in our lives are always telling us what we can and cannot do. Now, this is a real boundary. So in the Netherlands and Belgium have a city where literally you see a physical boundary all the time. And this is literally two countries divided. However, if you look to your left, it's a map of the two cities. You'd like to think like it's a straight line or a crooked line. It's no line. It's literally a bunch of dots where they're inside of each other or outside of each other or around each other. That's not healthy boundaries. Oftentimes, we don't set boundaries. We just interact with people. And we end up like this Netherlands and Belgium thing. And here's the thing. They actually share a history together. They share a culture together. They share a life together. They share a relationship together. That's why it's like this. And so what had happened was, essentially, the boundaries were overran, and they became enmeshed. And now forever, they have these physical signs between them showing, well, this is where Netherlands is, this is where Belgium is, and this is how we are, which makes it pretty awkward. So we're going to talk about rules versus boundaries real quick. And when I talk about rules versus boundaries, since we've defined a boundary, now it's time to define a rule. Guys, what is a rule? You guys know what a rule is? Kind of sounded like a boundary before, didn't it? All right. So if a boundary is you controlling yourself, a rule must control. Yeah, a rule must control someone else or somebody else or something else. And so the reason why this distinction is very important because we're going to go practice on how to communicate our boundaries and not rules. And here's a principle for you guys to look at. In Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Quick pop quiz. Who is Paul talking to when he says this? Because I know there's going to be somebody who's like me. I open my Bible. I look at the full context. I'm like, bro, you poorly used that text. So who is Paul talking to here? It's very important to know this because he's telling this person to speak always with grace as though seasoned with salt. Does anybody know? And this specific, if you go to 4 verse 1, it tells us who he's speaking. If y'all just flip your Bible open, 4 verse 1. It says one word, masters. Masters. He's talking to masters who have slaves. And he's saying, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each other. And I said, well, this ain't relevant to me, even though this has been one of my favorite verses for like 15 years of my life, because it dictated how I spoke to people. And I was like, Lord, I'm not a master. I don't have slaves. This can't work for me. Further on in Ephesians, Paul talks again, and he's talking to the slaves and the masters together. And he goes on to tell them this. He says, slaves and masters, slaves, your masters are your masters. Masters, God is both of your masters. In other words, in front of God, there is neither slave nor master. It is just God. And so now when I look at this text again, I say, well, God, if you're talking to everybody, you're talking to everybody. So there's neither slave nor master. So say me, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. All right. Y'all ready to practice? All right. Here's a rule. Don't raise your voice at me. Why is that a rule and not a boundary? Because you're controlling the other person. Here's an example of the boundary. I will not continue talking to you if you choose to raise your voice at me. Why is that a boundary and not a rule? I control myself, right? Like, I'm not telling you to shut up. I'm telling you, keep yelling. I'm not talking. Cool. I've not imposed anything upon you. I've allowed you to keep your free will. And I've spoke with salt, seasoned, so it tastes good to you. All right. Keep your hands to yourself. I'm going to give you guys about 10 seconds to talk to the person, 15 seconds to talk to the person next to you and see how you can make this into a boundary. Keep your hands to yourself. All right, did we set any boundaries? We got any healthy boundaries out there? We got any healthy boundaries out there? Let me hear a healthy boundary about keeping your hands to yourself. All right, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very, very, I will knock you out if you don't keep your hands to yourself. Very healthy boundary. Very healthy. It's very healthy because you've communicated, you know, if you touch me, how I will respond, right? Is there any other way to respond to this? Can we give another example? Because, you know, I'm struggling with this, you know, because, you know, we got a little one, right? And the other day, Sophie was teaching her how to punch. I was like, you better teach her how to punch. All right, go ahead. Ooh, okay. That's real. Okay, that's got some it piece in it. That has some seasoning in it, brother. All right. One more time, so I can repeat it for the people online. I will put physical distance between us if you cannot keep your hands to yourself. Ooh, okay. I love that. Again, not controlling the other individual. Neither of these are controlling the other individual, and they both allow me, the person that you're communicating with, to know how you will respond and how I choose after how I will interact with you thereafter. All right, I'm gonna give you more context for this one. Don't talk about that. Like, so let's say like it's you do what you want to do it. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. All right, y'all ready? We ready? All right, let me get a healthy boundary. Let me get a healthy boundary. This one's a little bit more difficult, I think, but it might be easier for you guys. Yes. I'll change the subject if you continue to talk about that. Yeah, You can continue, and I'll change the subject. Boundary. Any other healthy boundaries? No, healthy. You have an unhealthy one? You can give an unhealthy. I take all examples. They're all proper. All right. Yes. This is not fair. You guys are working together. Ooh, okay, go ahead. Don't talk about it unless you're going to be about it. You know what? I took that as aggression, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be aggression. Go ahead. Say some more. Listen. And go ahead. Facts. Right. So the person who's always talking about doing something, but they never do it. Or the person who's always complaining about something, but they never do anything about the complaint. Yeah, so don't talk about it if you're not going to be about it. I like it. Do you have a question or you have an addition, sir? The question is, should a boundary always have consequences? Well, Mr. Whitaker, we did define our boundary properly, but yes. If you're going to talk, you caught us. That was not a boundary. That was not a healthy boundary. So you caught us. You did caught us. Thank you. You were paying attention and I was not. So his example of a healthy boundary was, if you're going to talk about it, be about it. However, there was no consequence. There was no action for him to partake in. That's why it's not a proper boundary. I appreciate that. Yes. Right. So you're saying in order for it to be a proper boundary setting, you need to add, or if you continue to speak like this, I will lose trust in you, or I will not believe what the things you tell me. Therefore, then the consequences controlling what you do and how you respond to the person. Thank you for that interjection. All right, you guys ready? I'm not going to give you, so here are some leading words for you guys to help you with boundary setting. Some leading words are, I'm not comfortable with this. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. ... not at this time. ... Right. I think sometimes it's easy for us to recognize one or the other. Sometimes it's easy to recognize, I'm not going to engage with you, or I'm going to turn away from you, or I'm going to change the subject. But we might not know how to lead into the statement, right? Which is why we're practicing. Another thing is, I can't do that for you. ... I've decided not to. ... Right. All right, you guys. We already know somebody, they said it, if they're speeding, go ahead. Yes, sir. No, the ... is a consequence thereafter. I forgot to give you guys some of the leading stuff. I was intending to give you leading statements to help you out, and I forgot to. So these are some leading statements to lead you to the consequence thereafter. Because to communicate your expectation clearly, the person, if you give them an insight on your emotive reason, it then makes them understand more, right? Like, if I touch you, don't touch me. Oh, you're just picky, right? It makes me uncomfortable when you touch me. Oh, right? You're not just angry. Making somebody touch you discomforts you. And if you have a higher EQ, you're like, okay, when we talk about misunderstandings, we talk about the person's upbringing and experiences. And so we're like, I can respect that boundary, right? So being able to communicate a clear boundary also allows people to interact with you properly or better or more appropriate in your eyes. All right, here we go. So something that communicates the best boundaries to us is electronics. I literally had this happen to me last night, and I was so upset, but the thing communicated with me several times. This is what happened. I'm using my laptop. It was charged at one point, and then the battery began to get low. And this at the bottom of my screen, I glanced, and it's looking at me, and it's like, I'm getting low. I was like, I got you. I see what you're doing. And then it gets to 20%, and it's like, all right, we're on low battery mode, so I'm going to cut off your ability to do some things so I can stick with you. And I'm like, bet, I got you, but I'm going to do what I got to do, so I'm going to keep using you, right? I'm going to keep using you in the capacity that I can use you in. And then it got really low. And if you, anybody who has technology like a technology like this, when it gets really low, it communicates with you again, but even more aggressive. Like it was white when it was full, and then it got low, and then it turned yellow, and then now it's like really about to die, and then it turns red, like exclamation point, like stop, stop, stop. And the thing's like, yo, I'm dying right now. I'm gonna be dead. I seen it. I was in a conversation, so I was like, bet, thank you for letting me know you're going to die. And then it died. I got upset. I got so upset that it died on me after telling me it was getting low, after cutting off my access to other things, after giving me the last warning, and then doing what it told me it was going to do. My fault. Its boundary, its consequence, my fault. So when we understand how boundaries work, we also see how God communicates with us, right? We understand how God communicates with us. And I don't know if I can jump to the end. There is a practice. So let me ask you guys, I have one more practice for you guys. Do you want to jump to the end? Oh, no, we're going to do this practice anyways. So here's the reason why we're going to do this practice, because this statistic. So there is an online therapeutic thing, and they did a survey of 1,000 Americans, and they came up with some of these numbers. 58% of people find it difficult to say no. That means half of this room finds it difficult to say no. And if you find it difficult to say no, then you probably can't set a boundary. That's why we're practicing. All right, 63% of people consider themselves people pleasers. Now, if I have to set a boundary of what you cannot do and what I will do, if I'm trying to please you, I can never set a boundary for myself. Well, more than half of this room might be a people pleaser. So it's going to be difficult for you to set a boundary. And so because it's difficult for you to set a boundary, you use illegitimate means to protect other people's boundaries. 73% of people lied to get out of an event. Let's go back to the purpose of a boundary. Boundaries are not tools meant to create control over others. Boundaries are methods and guidelines which are used to protect and keep you. So anytime you think you have a boundary and you're using, anytime you think you have a boundary and people are abusing you with your boundary, it is not a healthy boundary. Which is why we are protecting, like a boundary is like the mute button on your phone. Like if anything is happening on your phone, nobody. I'm sorry. So. That's why it's important. That's why when you're able to recognize that street signs are boundaries, right? That's why you understand that city limits are boundaries, because when I'm in this city limit, I'm going to be taxed. Once I cross this speed limit, if the person who has set the boundaries for me sees I've crossed the boundary, I'm going to get a ticket. When these things happen, the boundary has a consequence or a result. So here we go. Guys, here's your practice. Pick one, talk about it. I'm going to read them to you. And remember, the reason why it may be difficult to you set up a boundary is, one, you may not have healthy communication already. Two, your upbringing, if you're a people pleaser or you're somebody who has a lower self-esteem, all of these things are going to create barriers, because in order for you to uphold your identity, you need to lower your boundaries, right? So what we're going to do is create healthy boundaries so you can uphold the identity that God has given you, right? God has given you autonomy. God has given you time. God has given you talents. God has given you people. God has given you family. And every time you lower your barriers so people abuse you, you abuse the things that God is allowing you. God has given you. You're misusing them, misstewarding them. So here we go. Some of these are hard. All right. Your friend, here's a good one. This is actually a very good one. I want you guys all to do the first one. A friend in crisis continually calls you. While you want to support your friend, you are not able to be available to them every moment of every day. How do you set a boundary with that person? How do you set a healthy boundary with that person? Your friend is in crisis. They keep calling you, and you kind of want to let them know, yo, like, I can't be with you all the time, every day. Let me hear a healthy boundary. Take 15 seconds to talk about it, and then we're going to get into scriptures and wrap up. All right. We got some healthy boundaries out there yet for this friend? All right, Sam, you are obviously a powerful communicator, Sam. So let's hear what your boundaries sound like seasoned with salt. Come on, talk to us. This sounds like it's going to be a little longer. I'm going to get you a microphone. only to protect the, the content that you're giving.
As your friend, I would love to be there to support you, but I do not always have the availability. So can we set some time to talk so I can give you my full attention in those moments?
So hold on, Sam. That was very beautiful, very beautifully said. So I'm deciphering what you said, but I'm having difficulty about the consequence there. So you initiated the conversation, and I believe it was a very smooth landing. Help us out with the consequence on that one.
If you try to connect with me when I don't have availability, I'll either not respond or won't be able to give you my full attention.
Yes, that's thank you. And that needs to be there because remember, we have a difficulty saying no, right? The reason why you landed it so smoothly, and you still landed it very smoothly. Go be pilot words someday, bro. The difficulty in saying the no is the saying the thing that you don't want to tell them you can't do. Like, oh, yo, I need help. Like, nah, bro, I can't do it, right? We have difficulty saying that. All right, any other healthy boundaries for this one? Y'all didn't talk about it again? All right, go ahead. Do you need the microphone so we can protect the authenticity of what you're saying? All right, let's get this man the mic. Thank you, sir. Oh, this one's dead, but go ahead.
Is ignoring the call healthy? No? All right. Yeah, should I not ask the question? Okay.
The question is ignoring the call healthy? And what do you guys think? Okay, all right. So I'm going to tell y'all something else in the data that I did not share with y'all. They also divided the data up in between different generations, from boomers to the X generation to millennials to Gen Z. And I feel like you guys are responding based on your generation right now. But go ahead, Marilyn, go ahead. Yeah, so you have a friend that does that. She lets you know if she doesn't pick up, she's busy. So here's the difference between not communicating and communicating that boundary. So do y'all know what ghosting is? See, mercy. Just to let you know, and I'm not attacking anybody, the closer you are being born to today's date, the more relevant that term is to you. All right, so ghosting. Ghosting is the practice of just ignoring, disappearing off the face of communication. You don't give no forewarning. You don't give no insight. You don't even give a hoo-hoo. It's just your ghost, right? The reason why, and ghosting is an unhealthy boundary, because you did not communicate and you did not set an expectation. So it's not ghosting when I tell you I'm ignoring your call. It's the expectation of my response of you breaching the boundary. Right? But we can call it ghosting just so we stay relevant in terminology. So, if you're the person, okay, all right, we're talking about friends now, all right? We're talking about friends and we're talking about boundaries. Now, I have a question for you. Do you set boundaries with your friends? You don't set any boundaries with your friends? They have full access to you. They don't have full access to you. I'm setting you up because I know you're a family man as well, right? You're also a businessman. You're a musician. Now you have all of these lives intersecting, and you got friends who want you all the time. Now how do you balance that out? What's your boundary? He said, I'm born closer to today's date. So if you missed the footnote what I just said, he's a ghoster. He's a ghoster. It is a very unhealthy thing to do. So you guys can know. So anytime you know your boundary is unhealthy when either it, I'm not going to put that on you. So an unhealthy boundary stereotypically will destroy yourself or the things that you have to be within. But another way to use a metric of healthy boundaries is also how does it protect the relationships that you have, right? Because like you said, this is a very good friend of yours. That's why they're always reaching out to you in a crisis. But you don't want the friend to then believe like you don't care for them. And so Sam, that's why I love the way you eloquently put it. You're like, hey, I care for you. I want to be there for you. But at this moment, if you reach out to me, I cannot do that. So you have communicated to that friendship. You have protected that friendship because now you're going to be available the way the friend wants you to be. And now you guys are on the same thing. So let's talk about something that are not rules and they're not boundaries. Agreements. Agreements. So you're probably thinking, Daph, you told us about boundaries. You told us about rules. I can't control anybody else. But when we're married or when I have my significant other or when I have a close friend, we have to have rules. Right? But if I can't control them, why do I have a rule? You have an agreement. So, question for my couples or friends or anything. What is the agreement you have when there is somebody trying to take the time of your relationship? When somebody else is encroaching on the time of your relationship, what is your agreement you have? Go ahead. You got it. It's a safe space. Only thousands of people can watch this later. Go ahead. No? All right, go ahead. You want to check with each other before we make a decision. Now, Kevin, why? You're a finance guy. You're the four-eyed finance guy. Why are you checking with people? No, I'm saying you answer the question based on your relationship. I'm just leading you. Go ahead. Wow. Jorge, can you help us out? We have an illegitimate praise team member grabbing the mics.
Yeah, so whenever there's an issue of dates and commitments and things of that nature, you know, we made an agreement between Tracy and myself to always check with each other before we make a decision. So, case in point, if let's say a family member on my side of the family says, hey, we're having a birthday party, we would love for the kids to come. Everybody knows who works with me or talks with me, I will say, I am not the event planner. Let me check with my wife and get back with you. So then it's an agreement between me and Tracy that, and same on her side. So we will have checkpoints to say when we do get a chance to talk, we'll say, oh, my brother said they're having a party on this date. Can the kids come? And then she'll check and she says, she looks on the date, she's like, oh, they have a commitment already, or it's open, or whatever the case. So now I can respond based on what we've already agreed upon.
I love that. Because the issue is that we think there's a whole verse we're gonna read it later. So the issue is we tend to think that if I have a personal boundary and I know I can't infringe upon people, it's important to know that for a healthy relationship to exist, we both agree to our boundaries. And when our boundaries come together, they come together harmoniously because we've agreed how they will come together. So not only do you have a boundary of you tell people, yo, I have to check with my wife, but you even have a boundary with your wife saying, I have to check with you in order to go back to them, right? And so that's two separate boundaries.
Which is very important in the dating phase, that you start to communicate what those boundaries are going to be if this is going to transition into a marriage.
Right, right. Amen, 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 amen. All right, we're going to rock. We're going to close it out, we're going to rock, right? I think we have enough material to get to where we're going. All right, so here we go. So that's why I want you guys to consider your friendships. I want you guys to consider your relatives. I want you guys to consider your significant others and how those boundaries are affected by you protecting, keeping safe, and making your expectations clear and your agreements clear with others. And so I want us to go back to Genesis. I told you we'd go back to Genesis. And I would like to tell you that this is a picture of the Garden of Eden. I know it's a picture of the Garden of Eden because it has mangoes. I typed up garden, and the first thing that came up were flowers. I was like, mm-mm, there was mangoes in the garden. Y'all playing. So I had to get a picture of a garden of Eden. And so I told you guys we return back to here. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded them, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat from it you will surely die. What are the expectations and the boundaries here? Don't eat from the tree. Expectations. If you eat from the tree, you will die, right? Adam and Eve's relationship with God, they recognize that you will surely die is coming from the sustainer and creator, like the person who just literally you went to existence, right? So here is something that God continually does. God continues to allow our free will to interact with his power and sovereignty. And so instead of saying, here's the commandment, you can't eat from this, you will not eat from this, God says, here is good and evil. Yeah, you will see it in Deuteronomy. You'll see it in Exodus. He says, here are the blessings and the curses, right? Do this and the curses will come. Do this and the blessings will come. God allows the autonomy with the boundary he sets within himself of being God to not interfere with their autonomy of them transgressing the boundary, right? God could never be love. God could never be sovereign. And we could never be free. And we could never freely love God if God didn't set a boundary for himself on our behalf. So here's the very interesting part. We're going to walk back two verses. First, the first time we see the word commandment in scripture is right here. In verse 16, it says, the Lord God commanded the man. That's the first time we see a commandment, the word commandment in scripture. But something even more important, before the commandment happens, verse 15 happens. And it says this, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. The Lord places them in the garden. And then he to cultivate it and keep it. The words cultivate and keep, the words put in the garden are all worship language. These are the things that the Levites do. So when you're reading the sanctuary services, they're setting things and they're cultivating and keeping it. In other words, before God gives them a commandment, God tells them to worship. God says, live a life of worship. So when we talk about me in my house, we will serve the Lord. What I'm telling you is that the first thing that needs to exist in your life, the first thing that needs to encompass your relationships that you want to have a boundary is worship God. What is the first commandment? Worship God. And the fact that God says, worship me, and then gives the commandment, he's saying, if you worship me, this will be no problem. If you worship me, I need to let you know about the other boundaries that I have set up for you so you can understand what can happen to you. But just worship me. Adam and Eve would not be talking to no snake if they was worshiping God properly. And so what happens is this word pesha, right? Or transgression. And this transgression is, this is how it's used. And I'm going to jump all the way to the end because I already took y'all time, but thank you for rocking with me. I'm going to jump all the way to the end, and this is the beautiful part of it. So here's this thing. It's called transgression. Sometimes reading the scripture is translated as sin or rebellion, but the word is transgression. And the reason why it's important to recognize it as transgression is this. Because transgression only comes from relationships. So here it is. In the Hebrew mind, in the Hebrew world, in the scripture, You cannot steal from someone. If you steal from someone, it's robbery. If your neighbor, if your relative, if someone you have a relationship with steals from you, it is transgression. You don't transgress against someone, you transgress with the person. Because it violates, transgressions violate relationship. So I'm going to jump to the very end with you guys. So Paul uses this concept, right, of the transgression of violating relationship here in Romans 5. He says, but the free gift is not like the transgression, right, the violation of relationship. He says, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. In other words, what he's saying is, if by this relationship it was violated, God has established a new relationship to restore it. There's a whole conversation about forgiveness here. We struggle with forgiveness because we don't have boundaries. There's a whole conversation about understanding that a boundary was violated and why did I set the boundary here. But what I want you to take from here is this point. When God set them in the garden, God set the boundary. And all throughout scripture, we read what the consequences of violating God's boundaries is. Blessings and or curses. And then we get to the point of scripture where we see it happen over and over and over and over again. And we thank God, because we violated it, we're only going to violate it and we're going to die and that's it. But Paul connects it for everyone who doesn't recognize it yet that, hey, the relationship has been violated by a man. And I'm going to show you that the relationship will be restored by a man. And so when Paul says, but the free gift is not like the transgression, this is why God is so beautiful, right? Because remember, the boundary is the consequence. So the consequence of violating God's boundary would be death. No. You misunderstand God. God's consequence of us violating God's boundaries, God don't kill us, right? The sin, God's allowing the sin, right, to do its own work. When own man's own lust entice them, they go into death. No. God's response to sin is grace. God's consequence is love. God's consequence is not changing. I am God and I change not. And so when we look at our relationship that was violated with God, what we see over and over again, and then what I want you to see over and over again in your life is that although I have veered off, I've run far away, I've continually violated, I went back to the tree again and again, God's consequence for me was love, grace, and even further to the point of sacrificing his only begotten son. Is there anybody here who wants a relationship restored? Is there anybody who needs the infinite power of God's grace in their life? I'm going to pray for that for us today. Because when we talk about we need to talk, we need grace. We need love. We need boundaries that are not, I'm going to hate you. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to forget you. I'm going to leave you. We need the boundaries that God has modeled for us. That's why we love our kids when they throw stuff in our face. That's why we continue. Oh, that touched your heart. That's why, you know, that's why we go back to friendships when they're tough. So there are two verses that I want you guys to read, but I'm going to just have you take it home with you. Ephesians 5, 25 through 26. I'm gonna say them, then I'm gonna pray for you. So the first boundary I want you to consider is how you would just have a daily interaction with your significant other. And that's why I said Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 25, verse 26 says, wash your wife in the word. Proverbs 25:5-6 tells us a good friend speaks truth. If you're in a friendship, continually speak truth into that friendship. Not hidden love, but open rebuke. And if you can't do any of those, worship. Worship and you will keep God's commandments. Worship and you will keep God's commandments. Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you that you set clear boundaries and expectations for us. And Father God, there may be someone here today who says, God, I have violated the boundaries of a loved one. Or God, I can't even set up a boundaries with the people in my life. And so, Father God, I pray that they can open your scripture and continually see how you make clear expectations for us with clear consequences. And God, I'm asking that you allow us to uphold the infrastructure of our lives with the love and grace that you have given us. And so, Father God, I'm asking that you restore relationships today. That Holy Spirit, that you give conviction on people's hearts to have those tough conversations. And that you give the words that are seasoned with salt so that they may communicate clearly the love of God when they speak. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your grace and your love towards us. And until we meet again, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.